Hello and welcome to the T3 podcast, Smoking. People don't use that enough anymore.
What's up?
Smoking.
What's up?
What was that? Was that from Batman or something?
Anyway, no, the mask.
The mask.
Mask.
Not
coming up.
Nobody says that anymore, do they? That was a great intro, nah. Dan.
Coming not. Nah. Look, let's just carry on.
What's up?
We've already lost 10 listeners. Coming up on this week's show, the PS Vita has landed. Quad-core OLED 3G. Give me a Game & Watch any day. 4G is coming, at least if Ofcom doesn't object. And finally, BlackBerry Playbook 2.0 OS has arrived, bringing with it a native email client. Hallelujah. Plus, we'll be looking forward to some unannounced smoking future tech that's surely only round the corner. And by we, I mean the lovely Ree Morgan and the man who's so far into the future that he counts Sam Beckett as a personal friend. It's T3's Mr. Duncan Bell.
Welcome. No way. Way, man.
We've got all the cutting edge references this week, haven't we? Sam Beckett.
Yeah.
That's Quantum Leap.
Is that it is, yeah.
It
yeah.
is. I love that program.
There was a lot of quite old school cultural references in that 30 seconds. That yeah. just,
why did you go with smoking? Did you watch The Mask recently?
I don't know. It just popped in.
Smoking is just a great smoke, expression.
Yeah. It needs reviving.
Like not.
Okay, let's do
it. Needs reviving. Not. Well,
not.
Well, it does need reviving. So it needs reviving. Not. Not.
Brilliant. Good.
Double notative.
Double not.
Does that make it?
A double not. Yeah. More difficult to undo.
Anyway, Duncan.
That's all we've got time for this week.
Your week.
Hey!
Oh,
what's up?
We're never going to get anywhere.
Your week.
What? Well, there's no need to be rude, Dan. I thought that intro was quite weak, but I don't, you know. My week, what have I done this week? I've been talking to Apple. I've been talking to people from Apple. Yes. Because certain listeners who aren't able to hear this at the moment, so it's almost like, why am I bothering to say it, will have noticed that they've not been listening to the podcast recently because they've yes. been unable to download it.
Mm. It's a travesty.
Although the rest of us, who are able to apply just a teensy bit more thought,
lateral thought,
have been able to work out ways to listen to it. But you know, but there are certain people who apparently can only listen to a podcast if it's downloaded over the air straight to their mobile device, and fair play to them. You know, I'm the same with NASes. You know, I could just turn on my computer.
But no.
No, yeah. I insist on having a NAS and doing it over the air the difficult way, but using no workarounds.
No.
So, yeah, it's mysterious. Mm-hmm. I can pretty much 100% certain, with 100% certainty, say it ain't our fault.
Uh-oh.
And the reason I say this is because we've discovered you can download it to the iPhone 3GS, you can download it to the iPad, you can download it to the iPad 2. And this is using a variety of iOS 4 and iOS 5, so we don't think it's quite an iOS issue.
Okay.
But you can't download it to the iPhone 4 and 4S, which I suppose are the phones that most of our listeners would have.
Totally random.
If they've got iPhones, anyway. It seems to work fine on Android. How ironic. I suppose because it bypasses iTunes entirely. So anyway, so we've spoken to Apple, and they've suggested we make our intros shorter. Not the rambling that you just had to endure, for which I apologise, but the text intros
yep.
on each one. Because also we've noticed...
And they also suggest we make our intros shorter.
Yeah, well, just to because they've listened to it and they're helpful people. But we've tried that and doesn't appear to work. That all that does is if the intro is too long, although it used to be fine, it's now the intro has stopped appearing on iTunes, which I didn't even notice. But apparently that's been happening for about the last 5 months.
Good.
But yeah, by making it shorter, that makes the intro reappear, but it doesn't make the thing download, because why would it? And why were they even suggesting that might fix it? I don't bloody know. But they're being very nice and helpful, but they don't seem to know the solution. And the BBC is having the same problem with some of its podcasts, I do hear. And it's a weird thing.
So all those people who are giving us one star because they can't download it.
Yeah.
Bastards.
It's not actually our fault.
It's not our fault.
Well, that's the problem. It's very harsh, isn't it? But if you give somebody one star, it does make them go away and look for a solution, and we have. Mm. Unfortunately, we haven't been able to find a solution yet. We have concluded that it ain't our fault, but unfortunately, well, we're not drawing a line under it there, listeners. No. Don't worry. We are working on your behalf.
Okay.
But, yes. I could say more about the people who have given us one star because they've not been able to work out a way to listen to the podcast. But this isn't the forum for me to swear at people.
Because those people who give us one star probably aren't listening. So you're just, it's falling
well, that's me. That's what I mean. I mean, I could go full square after these people, but I'm not going to.
No.
Because I'm a professional and I rise above that kind of abuse.
We seek a workaround.
First time for everything.
Yeah. So hopefully, I mean, because the saving grace here is the Apple, the T3 iPad edition is a really massive seller and makes Apple, therefore, a lot of money because they take a cut of it. So we're quite an important customer to
them.
Are working quite hard to find a solution.
The figures were out for all magazines and do you know...
The ABCs.
Yeah, the ABCs. First of all, do you know what the top selling, well, I say selling, magazine is in the country?
Is it like TV Quick or something like that?
It's not T3, sadly. It's Tesco magazine.
Oh, but that doesn't count.
Second, Asda magazine.
But magazines where you just give it away.
Yeah.
Like Wired, for instance. Those sales don't count.
But more importantly, in the ABCs, which now include digital downloads, which is the top digital download magazine?
It's not quite us, is it? We're the second most, I think.
List only had us.
It was Men's Health.
Oh, no, I think we're above them.
Oh, I do apologise. It's us!
And quite happen as
excitement. I've ripped my T-shirt.
Bloody hell!
Sorry, just the sleeve.
Listeners,
my trousers have torn with the sheer excitement.
Well,
nothing to see here.
No,
if only this was a video podcast. Goodness,
if only.
Anyway, on to our top story, and it's the PS Vita, which has finally landed in the UK months after it arrived in the Far East. The bare bones of it: quad core ARM Cortex A9 processor, 5-inch OLED, 554p. What? Touchscreen. It's like not quite 720p. Front and rear cameras, it's not, PlayStation controls, touch sensitive backplate, Wi-Fi, and optional 3G. My goodness.
Only through Vodafone.
Through Vodafone, yes.
According to the press releases, they keep sending me I'm interested.
Reed,
like I give a shit.
You have taken this through its paces.
I've had a go at it.
I've held one.
I've held one.
I played Uncharted on one.
Yeah. But I played with it before it was available in the UK, so I didn't actually get to play all the fun stuff.
Mm.
So I couldn't do remote play with my PS3 or any of the apps. But the game, you know, using it, it was, yes, the power of it is amazing. Mm. It's immense. And, you know, gaming on it is good. The controls are amazing. The backpad I found difficult to use. It wasn't intuitive for me to use, but...
They do seem to pick it up. Becomes second nature.
It's officially known as the Duncan Bell pad.
I was going to say I did invent it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So don't slag off my invention, Ray.
Sorry.
The styling is very familiar. In fact, if anything, it just looks like a sort of a chunkier PSP. But it's definitely
got a little sort of iPhone 4-ish maybe thing to it. It's got a very glossy sort of front, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It's definitely addressed some of the flaws of the PSP.
Yeah.
The six
all
axis.
Of them.
Okay,
I would say apart from the overpriced bits.
So the controllers, the six axis controllers,
amazing, much better.
Reinforced shell, so it's a lot sturdier. Yeah. No UMD.
No.
Which obviously is sad, I imagine. I mean, on that rear touchpad, more gimmicky than...
No, I think as Dank says, when you first pick it up, you forget that it's there, but certain games prompt you to use it, so you have to use it to synchro. And I think the more you play with it, the more you get used to using the back of it.
The only instance I've seen it being used in is the one where you sort of roll a boulder around a... course, but you know, by
it's going to be pretty useful for things where you need very precise control of certain things that are going on the screen, so like football games.
Okay,
I think it could be very useful for. I think, I mean, a lot of these controllers that are built into it, you could say yes, they will be used in gimmicky ways a lot of the time, but I think they have kind of quite core uses as well for certain types of games.
Yeah, and I think game developers will probably make a use for it. They'll find ways to make use for it. Yeah.
Or they'll ignore it completely.
We'll
go one way or the other.
It's the only sort of unique thing about it, you know. Yeah. And
well, yeah. I tell you, no. Well, the other thing, it's not. I suppose it's not unique about the device as such, but with certain games, you can actually play multiplayer against people who are sitting playing the same game on a PS3. I mean, truly next gen.
Yeah, and it shows off the hardware, really, that doesn't it? You know, just the fact that
it's next genitalia.
It's keeping it nice.
But I haven't. Have you played with that? I haven't played with it because I've only played with it before. Because you can only do that now, can't you? When it was available in the UK.
Yeah, I thought it's been out for ages because we reviewed it ages ago. But none of the online stuff was working when we. There are games coming out where you can be playing against somebody on a PS3. Amazing.
The front OLED. Touchscreen, which not quite HD, 554p. I mean, visually, it's not HD, but it's only 5 inches, so who cares? But it's stunning. I mean, it's really bang, punchy.
And it's all right for internet browsing as well. Not that you do a lot of yeah, internet browsing on it.
Yeah, we had a few people
sort of
saying they were a bit sniffy about the internet browsing on it.
But it's just an extra thing you can do, isn't it?
Okay.
Which does work. But yeah,
the web
graphics
browsers
on
are
it,
always, like, for some reason, quite poor on Sony's gaming devices. Mm. I don't
They're
know
not too bad on this one. It's not. It's all right on this
Can't
one.
Can't be as bad as the one on the PS3.
But, you know, yeah. I mean, it's a viable, you know, film-watching device.
Mm. Yeah.
It's a really nice thing, as indeed it ought to be for the price. But, yeah, it's a great product.
Mm.
Well, I'd say it's even better than the 3DS. Because it's it hasn't got itself bogged down into this thing of like, oh, because that really is a gimmick, the 3D and the 3DS. But it's a nice piece of hardware anyway. But like, I don't know, there's just the sort of bigger and wider screen on the Vita, and the general feel of it is nicer.
It's such a different beast to the 3DS. I mean, that, you know, in terms of competition, okay, the 3DS is the only other mainstream portable gamer, but that's not really its competition, is it? It's now the iPhone 4 is the competition.
Well, I'd say that was true of both of them. No, I think I would say they are the same beast and they are competitors against each other. But they're both having to take on all the smartphones as well, yes. So I sort of agree with you there, Dan.
Not sure.
It's a mixture of
agreement
way,
and
way,
kind
of
not
agreement. Sort of agree with you.
The Xperia Play, I mean...
Oh, dear.
What was that? What was that about?
Maybe they'll, but the, you know, MWC's coming up. They could come out with another gaming phone. They could have as much power.
Yeah.
But I don't think there'd be point what they'd be competing against themselves.
Yeah, you mentioned the price, Duncan. It is more expensive than a new Xbox 360 or a PS3. Wi-Fi only $229.
Which is it? But it's not, you know, it's not paralyzingly expensive, is it? I mean, it's a bit like, ouch. But it's not, ah!
Okay, it's already down to what, 197
and the other thing is, of course, it'll come down at speed, I would think. Going back to your point, I don't know that I entirely it is meant to be competing against the sort of iPhones of this world. They are putting out a kind of a sort of a range of cheaper, more kind of pick up and play smartphone type games.
Yeah.
But I think it is mainly aimed at your proper hardcore gamer, to be honest.
Especially if it's got that functionality where you can play PS3 games on it.
Yeah, I mean, the kind of the power of it and the amount of control options and all the rest of it. I mean, the only problem is that obviously the 3DS, you'd say that was pretty much the same thing, and that really struggled until it had a price cut.
Someone had a pay cut.
Actually, the guy did. The Nintendo CEO took a pay cut as a kind of, oh, I put my hands up for getting that wrong.
Well, analysts, what do they know? Analysts are predicting sales of 12.4 million worldwide.
Based on what?
By the end of 2012.
I'll tell you what, I predict sales of 36.
Well, quite. They're saying 12.4 million if it has a price cut. Now, the 3DS has just hit 5 million, I think.
Well, I predict I'd be on telly more if I grew an extra head.
Yeah. I mean, but the thing is, as well,
or maybe I wouldn't.
It's a bit of a gamble, really, because it's how big is this hardcore gamer market? If that's what they're going for, because that's to justify shelling out that much money over using your iPhone, you've got to be reasonably dedicated to gaming.
I think sales of the Xbox 360 in particular and the PS3 to an extent, although that does do all manner of other things, I suppose, suggests that the market is pretty large, to be honest.
That's true, actually. I mean, because, well, like you say, the PS3 is a great media centre, but I don't think people go, I'm looking for a media centre. Mm. Oh, I'll buy the PS3. I don't like games at all, but that's a great media centre, although it is.
They might do to an extent, but I think they certainly wouldn't say that about the Xbox 360, sold bajillions as well. Well, it sold healthily, anyway. I suppose, I don't know, it's tricky, isn't it? It's tricky.
Who knows where it'll go?
Because you can say, in terms of portable devices, smartphones are incredibly powerful now. But it is a different type of gaming, isn't it? And, you know, you can't, with the best one in the world, you can't really play proper games on tablets or smartphones.
Because you haven't got the controls.
Easily.
I have to say, the reception now it's arrived seems to be a lot better than it was when it was just on paper, if that makes any sense.
Mm.
I think,
which is unusual, because normally it works the other way around.
Normally the other way around. I think people, having played it, touched it, are actually quite pleasantly surprised at, you know, how many of the problems of the PSP they've ironed out.
I think people also are impressed by, like, wow, these graphics are pretty amazing for something that will fit in my pocket.
Mm.
And,
in terms of those sort of innovative features, and we mentioned the back plate, near the GPS service, play multiplayer with people near you. It's nice.
Yes, that's good.
Well, you do that with a 3DS.
That's what I was
going to
say. That's the same as the 3DS.
Something like that. And PS3 Remote Play, which is kind of takes away the use controllers, you know, USP, doesn't it? You know, so you can basically play your PS3's games on your controller, you know, which is rather nice.
Yeah, because it's got the same. It's got the same controller. It's got the same DualShock, and it's exactly the same as the controller you get for
effects
the PS3.
The,
yeah,
it's like
six
yeah.
axis.
Yeah,
six
yeah. It's axis. Not quite the buttons aren't quite as precise because, but they are the same number of buttons are there. Mm. And,
that's because they're digital and not analog.
Exactly, Duncan. Yes,
I believe.
Yes, quite. Wow. Quite. Game prices, £25 to £45.
Yeah, now you see, that is my one massive reservation about the whole thing.
Because they're not going to come down, are they? Unless they get bundled.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, yeah. I mean, you can buy, as always with games, you can go and buy them secondhand, I suppose. Until such time as the games industry stops us doing that.
What's a bit weird is because there's two formats you can buy your games in. You can get a PS Vita flash card, which is like the physical format.
Yeah.
So you buy, you know, it comes in a box. Or you can do it digitally, and you have to save it to these rather fiddly PS Vita memory cards, which themselves are expensive. A 16-gigabyte one is £45. That's the biggest one you can get. And Uncharted alone takes up 4 gigs. So.
I think Sony said, you've got to, if you're going to do it that way, you have to get more than one card. You kind of swap and change, so you're going to get that game fiddly.
So you could, in theory, stick a, you know, 4 Uncharted-sized games on one memory card. But the what's weird is that the digital, because it's the digital downloads, because you're getting them from Sony, they're kind of at RRP, whereas the physical formats, because you can buy them from HMV and, you know, GameStation and whoever else, and you know, they discount, they're actually proving to be cheaper than the digital downloads, which is all a bit weird. So with a digital download, A, you pay more, and you have to pay for a memory card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is quite expensive, you know.
But that'll, I think that'll adjust. I mean, because the thing is, obviously, where you have competition, you get lower prices.
Mm.
And in terms of downloads, there is no competition because they're all coming from Sony.
Exactly.
So.
But also, they're saying...
But
they're
if
saying
as a result, nobody buys their downloads, then obviously they'll have to bring the price down. So.
And they're saying that PS3 games, you'll get it bundled. You'll get a PS Vita downloadable thing bundled.
Oh, I have no idea. I don't know.
Don't ask questions like that.
I believe
I mean,
it is.
The game lineup, the poster boy is Uncharted, which you've played, Dunk. What did you make of it? Uncharted Golden Abyss.
Yeah, it felt exactly like playing an Uncharted game on the PS3. Massively long cutscenes. Every 5 minutes, a platform would give way underneath my fingers, and I'd be hanging on my one hand, and then, oh, you pull yourself up. Yeah, no, and the combat and the rest of it was very smooth. It was good. I mean, the graphics are amazing, I think, really, for such a diddy thing.
The T3.com verdict, which said a lot, actually, really, about the Vita itself, just talking about the game, was once you get over the sheer amazement that you're playing Uncharted on the move, you'll begin to notice that the right analog is a bit too loose for targeting. The tiny action buttons on the ergonomic square millimeter are an ergonomic square millimeter too near to the unit's edge to be comfortable for long sessions. The touchscreen interludes are necessary diversions. It's an incredible achievement and a graphical showpiece up there with Rage HD on the iPad. But much like ID Software's iOS Big Gun, there are far better games for this particular format. And that kind of, I think that gets to the heart of the Vita, in that if they just simply make it the PS3 on the move, it's not going to be the hit it could be. You know, the hardware is all there to simply be the PS3 on the move, but they need to actually think a bit more than that, than just sort of almost just porting a PS3 game onto it.
Well, no, I think, to be fair, also, it wasn't ported. Uncharted game isn't obviously. Even made by Naughty Dog. It's made by some other third party.
I don't mean that literally, but in that, you know, kind of...
I don't know that I necessarily recognise that criticism, because maybe I'm not a hardcore gamer enough to have been sat there thinking, all this stick isn't feel quite right, because I'm just inept anyway, so it doesn't make any difference to me, really. But, I mean, in as much as I could say that I care about portable gaming devices, this is about as exciting as portable gaming devices get, I think.
And
But the other thing is, you see, and what killed the 3DS for me, because I was quite a little bit excited about that when it came out, was Nintendo were like, well, we got loads and loads of big games will be coming out for this almost as soon as it launches, like loads of big franchises, like our franchises, but also massive third-party things like Metal Gear Solid and Resident Evil and all the rest of it. And even now, they're still only just starting to drip through onto the 3DS.
Yeah.
And Sony similarly has promised a sort of amazing launch lineup. But the difference is they seem to have delivered on it. There are a lot of games, and they're sort of high-profile, seem to be good games, and they're promising to keep up the flow of sort of like really high quality releases.
So that, I mean, that's the main thing. I mean, yeah, obviously, if they can only get two decent games for it, it's going to die like a dog, isn't it? But if there's a consistent flow of games it's worth shelling out 30 quid for, then...
It's entirely in their interest to get titles out there that people want to buy, because that's where they make all the money.
Well, yeah, quite.
They can start slashing the price of the thing if they're making tons of money on the games. Okay, well, it's already out there. So some of you already bought it. Actually, we've got some texts and tweets coming up, so we'll cover those. But
early adopters, our
boys. Yes,
yes. And girls.
Plenty more where that came from. So let me say, here is the news. G is coming. Orange and T-Mobile's parent company, Everything Everywhere, says it'll roll out 4G in the UK this year, providing it gets the go-ahead from Ofcom. Expected to be dongle-based at first, it's currently being trialled in rural areas.
More importantly, RIM has finally released the BlackBerry Playbook 2OS, bringing with it a native email client, compatibility for some Android applications, a revamped contacts and calendar interface, and improvements to the BlackBerry Bridge sharing platform. The new email client boasts a unified inbox with messages from Facebook and LinkedIn, while the contacts and calendar apps also link up with your social networking activity. It'll be available over the air right now. It is available.
Wow. Nike, I think, has announced its new Nike Plus training analysis system. Now with four pressure sensors in your trainers and an accelerometer, it can track everything from squat jump reps to rope skips, like I know what they are, to build up a more advanced picture of your workout.
The LG Optimus 4X HD has been unveiled, making it the first quad-core smartphone to be confirmed for Mobile World Congress. The ice cream sandwich-packed smartphone has 1.5 GHz quad-core NVIDIA Tegra 3 processor, 8 megapixel camera, and a 4.7-inch 720p screen. Expected to be in stores sometime after March.
Google is adding the Great Barrier Reef to its portfolio of properties. Google Maps. It's teamed up with the University of Queensland to survey the reef and give users a 360-degree panorama street view-style glimpse of what's down there. It's hoped it'll help researchers monitor the health of its fragile ecosystem.
And after dominating the mobile application scene with the original Angry Birds, developer Rovio has revealed it is to launch an all-new Angry Birds title next month. Way, man. The new title, Angry Birds Space, will arrive on the 22nd of March, promising a completely new game with innovative new gameplay.
My arse.
I don't know if I want...
Yeah, how can that happen? You're going to be throwing birds, right?
In space?
Yeah, but how...
I've never heard anything so stupid.
How is that a completely new game with innovative new gameplay? Surely I'm going to be like, pyong, there goes a bird.
It'll never stop. Due to the lack of...
Maybe they'll put
and
the
there'll
birds
be no,
in
there'll
rockets.
Be no, there'll be no sound either.
Also, the birds, immediately upon being released, presumably their blood will boil and they will explode in a hideous kind of red... Yeah. They'll sort of turn inside out due
to the isn't there a movie, Pigs in Space, or something like that? There's something...
Pigs in Space? That was like the Muppets.
Is it Muppets? It's not Muppets...
Muppets.
Pigs in Space was a recurring thing in the Muppets.
Right, there we are.
There was a film called Morons from Outer Space, Dan. You must have heard of that one.
No.
Oh, okay.
Time to see what you've been tweeting to at T3DOTCOM and posting on the official T3 podcast Facebook group. Duncan.
Yes. Well, Yasser Charisma says, anyone got the PSP Vita? Very impressive, apart from the shockingly bad browser. Only thing that lets it down.
Oh, wow. So much for you, Ree.
Yeah. As you told. And then Dan.
T3 looked good on it.
Did it?
Well, T3 looks good on everything.
Did it?
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean it like that. I mean, yes. Dan Hardinges. Yeah. So that's a good name. He says, I've got one for a games console. It's pretty good. For a portable games console, it's staggering. Had a couple of freezing up issues, though. They were annoying, but it's stuff that can be fixed in a firmware update. The screen on the thing is the best I've seen on a portable device.
Mm. Yes. I think we could concur with that. Yeah.
Wouldn't say solid, I'd disagree with that.
Solid verdict.
Yeah. We've had a lot of new members on the group. Andrew Gould. I have been listening to the podcast for ages. Love the banter. Very entertaining. I love it when you take the pee out of keynote speakers and joke about how boring they are. P.S. I found this Facebook group difficult to find.
What?
That might be why you only have 217 people in the group.
Yeah,
really?
I don't understand this. Okay, if you go on Facebook and you type in there's a little search bar at the top, and you type in T3... podcast
and search groups,
it's the first thing that comes up.
You would hope it would be the only thing that would come
up. Is that because you're logged in, though?
Maybe, I don't know.
Because you're a member.
Maybe that's it.
It could be because you're logged in.
Okay, someone who isn't a member, try that and report back.
Or just go on Facebook, but don't log yourself in.
Simon White has provided a short URL, a bit.ly / T3-podcast. So bit.ly/T3-podcast.
That'll just click on that link,
yeah,
that audio link that Dan just said there.
There we are.
And you'll be there in a trice.
One day.
I've got another new member, Gavin Catterall. Can I suggest a new What We Missed Out on the T3 podcast section?
What We Missed Out on the T3 podcast. Yeah, it works.
When you were discussing OS X Mountain Lion features, you didn't mention Gatekeeper, which is possibly the most interesting controversial piece. This is all about controlling what software can be installed with three options. Allow install of apps downloaded from anywhere, allow install of apps with a developer ID, Apple-approved devs, or only allow install of apps from the Mac App Store. Is this the start of an iOS-like lockdown? OS X with safety from malware by the expense of freedom to install apps that Apple haven't explicitly approved. Of course, they won't allow an opt-out now, but will this continue to be the case?
Ooh!
That's very interesting.
It is interesting, but only in a kind of horrendous paranoia kind of way.
Well, yes, but then that's exactly what you have on the iPhone. I mean, there's no reason why they couldn't say, you know, make apps that way.
So.
On the Mac.
So what is it, this
apart
gatekeeper?
From that it would be, you know, commercial and suicide.
Control but. More of the software, get more of a cut. Oh, it's very Apple to do that, isn't it?
Is it?
So yes. What is
it's
the,
what they've
is
done
it?
Since the word go from their mobile devices.
I don't know what it is. What does Gatekeeper do? So it allows say, you have to choose an option.
So with Gatekeeper, you basically say how you would like Apple to monitor the, you know, the apps that you're going on there.
Okay, fine.
Either they're completely through Apple, they're approved by Apple, or it's a free-for-all. So the free-for-all would be akin to a jailbroken iPhone, wouldn't it? You know,
Or a computer now.
Yes.
Well, unless Apple is literally trying to change the terms of reference and make everybody just forget that this is the way that computers have ever operated in the past. Well, I suppose you couldn't put that past them. No, you could, because actually Apple don't really do things like that, although people ascribe these motives to them. I don't know.
Donkey, sure?
Yeah.
Very well. Anirudh Madhavan, the iPhone 4S is outrageously priced in nations like India. On the other
and Britain,
on the other hand, to be fair. On the other hand, the Galaxy Note and the Galaxy S2 are certainly a lot cheaper than the iPhone. Should I buy an iPhone or go with an Android phone? Well, this prompted me to write a hilarious response along the lines of TV burp. You know, I like Android. Duncan likes iPhone. Only way to find out. Fight. Blah blah blah.
Yeah.
So Stuart Gordon, this leads to a more interesting question: who would win in a fight between Duncan and Dan, and would either of them fight dirty? Yasser Charisma, Dan will win easy. It won't even be a contest. I can see Dunk using his phone as a weapon. Sam,
they start talking this up into an actual thing already.
Sam Hasoski, Hal Golmahamadi. I think Duncan probably has sharp nails, so Dan would only win if he was wearing extra layers as armour. Kareem,
extra layers of what?
Jumpers.
Clothes.
I don't know.
Oh, just clothing.
Yeah. Kareem, I should create all three on the video game Soul Calibur. I think he's including you now, Rick.
What? I wasn't even involved.
Soul
in this.
Calibur 5, and make them fight each other. I did make Steve Jobs on there. This should be fun. If I mean fun, yeah, I mean, by saying fun, you mean up there with, you know, the game to run us over? Then yes.
Well, at least we're not physically there in Soul Calibur.
Actually,
you're
right.
We?
Yeah,
maybe
this is a harmless.
I could live with that.
A harmless way of living out our frustrations with each other.
Maybe I should dress
you
up.
Why would we have a fight? I don't understand.
Over your Apple Android.
Apple or Android?
That's where it all came
Android
from.
Android Army and all that.
I'm not that bothered. If people want to buy Android phones, that's.
Can't we just all get along?
I used to have an Android phone. I didn't like it.
No, yeah.
that might just have been that particular phone. You know.
We've had a complaint, and not one about not being able to download us. Andy Gibson, last week, a podcast, witting on, that's a nice phrase, witting on about unreleased iPad 3 rumours. This week, the same, about unreleased macOS. Yawn, unsubscribe.
Well, don't let the door hit you on the arse on the way out.
You see, there's a problem here, Andy. We can't make up the news. Although, you know, occasionally we do. We can't make it up. So if nothing has happened, it does mean that the top story is not always really, in truth, a top story. But I have to say, Mac OS...
You're just mixing up slow news week with us wanting to talk about Apple.
We weren't just sort of pontificating out of our ass. It had been released to developers, so we were talking about something that was
real. I think because we're so ill-informed,
it did
he might
like
have
that.
Formed the opinion that we were just working off of rumours of some sort.
That's true. But Andy, I like to think that even if there is no news, you know, we can just our...
We gloss over it with banter.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's all about the banter, the bants, top bants.
No, I appreciate that. Maybe that's not what you're looking for, but...
I don't know, because maybe we do talk about Apple too much. Maybe we should never talk about Apple again.
I don't think we're the only ones guilty of that.
Well, that's what the Nazis said.
Let us know how you get on with any other podcasts.
Yeah. Anyway, we have had, I think, what, 17 now new members this week?
17, there we are.
So that's impressive.
So we've lost one... Gain 17, so that's a net gain of 16.
So but did this chap tweet, or was he on Facebook?
No, that was a tweet. He's not on. He's not on the Facebook. So anyway, yes, do join us on the Facebook group where this week you would have found out why Karim Auj Juneja stopped masturbating to watch this.
Come on, what are you doing? Let's go. I'm trying to get you to the main control room, retard.
And what the hell a Googlighting stranger is.
Google killed off Gears and Wave. They buried Buzz the same way.
We'll leave it at that. Now, what have we got for our Gadget of the Week?
This week, I have been burning the stuff.
I've mostly been burning.
Mostly been burning.
What, you've been burning stuff?
Yeah, I set the IOSafe solo hard drive on fire.
Right.
Why?
So my gadget of the week is the IOSafe solo waterproof, fireproof, disasterproof hard drive. I know it's not as exciting as... Thanks. So yeah, this thing is fireproof.
Okay.
And basically we put it on a bonfire.
Why did he set it on fire then?
Because it's fireproof. So we wanted to test it, didn't we?
Oh, I see.
So you what? You put some precious data on there.
Yeah, we put some, well, pictures of me. So yes,
precious. And then you put it in a fire.
And then we bought a fire pit and put it in a fire and set it alight.
Where?
In a roof garden, Soho.
So, yeah.
Bloody hell.
With safe... So, you know, so I did the health safety form.
So what,
everything.
It's meant to withstand like a house fire.
It's meant to withstand a house fire.
Your house burns down, you lose all your possessions. But thank God, thank God those photos of Ree Morgan are safe.
And all your family are killed.
I have had words that it'll be pre-installed on any IOSafe now, these pictures of me. But,
good.
You know.
so, okay.
Yeah,
right.
But it was pretty amazing. Yeah, it burned for about 20 minutes, but it can withstand about, I think it's an hour and a half. It's basically like a black box.
You'd hope the fire brigade had kind of arrived by then. Yeah,
it's basically a black box in an aeroplane, but it's made out of but basically what they do is the actual casing does burn, so it burns, but inside they've got like it's a vacuum pack, but it's made of really chalky material and it's got water in it, so when it sets alight it lets out vapor and so puts cool air in, so your data inside doesn't get damaged.
So you have to dismantle it. You dismantle it and you take out what looks like a normal hard drive by that stage.
Yeah. Well, it just looks like the innards of a hard drive. But if you look at, we've done a video,
the hard drive you take out of a computer.
Yes.
So you slot that into a normal hard drive reader and Bob's your uncle.
There you go. All your data's there.
And did it work?
It did work, yeah.
That's pretty good.
It did work. Yeah, it was very impressive, yeah. So check out the video. You can see me setting fire to a hard drive.
Your memories.
We've all wanted to do that, haven't we? Let's face it. Did he use an accelerant of any kind?
Yeah, a lighter fluid.
Lighter fluid. Old school.
I hope you stood well back.
Well, actually, in the video, you can see how scared I was. The man just kept pouring lighter fluid. I was up against a wooden fence.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
It was quite breezy this week as well. It was breezy.
Picture like flames and fumes billowing towards you.
Check that out on T3.com. Ah, now at T3, we like concepts. The epitome of cutting edge future
technology.
Turn off
now, Andy Gibson.
And design. Naturally, most would cost too much or can't be made at all, but a man can dream, can't he? T3.com has been looking at just some further future concepts, I should say. We've been picking our favourites. Duncan, out of this mishmash of made-up stuff I liked, actually.
Yeah. This mishmash of made-up stuff, yeah. Cutting-edge tech, I think you mean, Dan.
Bleeding-edge tech, if you will.
Yes. Yeah, there was two I really liked. One was essentially a teapot shaped like an hourglass.
I think it's that one too.
It's number 22 on the...
Teapot shaped like an... All right.
Basically, you put your tea... leaves in the top, pour in hot water as usual, and it's kind of hourglass type shape. So the water obviously drips through the narrowest part in the middle, through a kind of filter.
Yes,
and lands in the bottom. There's actually nothing particularly high tech about that. It was just a very nice bit of design.
So by the time it gets to the bottom, it's brewed.
Yeah,
and there's no tea leaves in it.
Well, that's it. But I like that on two counts. A, because there's no tea leaves in it, so you don't need a little sieve. But the problem
with the sieve is built in.
So. Yeah, but the problem with tea when you make it in a pot with proper tea or even with tea bags is. You get it. It brews to the perfect extent. You pour your cup of tea. Then you come for a second mug. It's been in there for another 10 minutes. And it's stewed to glory.
Yeah.
So with this...
Well, you get lots of teapots where you just lift out the tea because the tea is in a sort of container or whatever.
No, that's an extra step.
Fair enough. I mean, to be honest, looking at it, I wasn't convinced that it would produce... tea that was all that drinkable, but it was a very nice looking thing. And then the other one that I like, that's about number 22 on the list of 46 if you're looking for it. And the other one I think was 24 on the list. And it was what I can only really describe as a fridge with enough room in it for four apples.
I saw that.
It's a special fridge for fruit. But it doesn't just keep it cools using some sort of gas that also prevents plants, the reason they rot is because they release gas or they are exposed to gas of some sort.
Okay.
And that's what causes the rot. Well, the gas within this fridge both refrigerates and prevents that process. Okay. The process of rotting from happening.
I see.
So it basically prevents rottage in two different ways. However, I have to say, I can quite happily put an apple in a fruit bowl, leave it for anything up to about 3 months, and they don't always go off. They go off if you leave them with bananas.
Yeah.
Never leave ripe bananas in a fruit bowl with
good
things.
Good to know.
Because they release that gas.
I also found out this week that tomatoes, if you put them in a fridge, destroys the flavour. If they go below 5 degrees,
everyone knows that
the actual flavour in a tomato is zapped. So don't put your tomatoes in your salad. Thing in the fridge.
No, I always put them in a ceramic bowl on my windowsill.
That's nice. Delightful.
Yes, because that way it makes a delightful sort of visual aesthetic experience and improves the flavour of the tomato.
Fantastic.
And also it means they're there to hand when you want to cook some tomatoes or put some tomatoes on stuff.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to open the fridge. Ree.
You don't get these kind of tomato tips on
other podcast.
Lower rent podcasts. Yeah.
Mine is actually it's boring, but it's the tanning printer. Now, printers annoy me.
Tanning printer.
Because I don't understand how we can go so far with tech, but yet printers are essentially shite.
Yeah, they haven't quite moved on.
They're just annoying.
Yeah. What's a tanning printer?
Oh, basically,
you feed yourself through the printer and you come out all tanned.
No, it's not tanning as in beauty tanning.
Oh, well, we were getting quite interested.
Basically, what it is, it looks like it looks like a bit, it's like a hairband, but imagine like straight. And then basically you scan it over a bit of paper. And it takes the information off that bit of paper, and then you put out another bit of paper, and it projects it. So basically, if you were somewhere reading a book,
puts ink onto another bit of paper.
No, it's like put ink on another bit. So basically, if you're reading a book in a library,
right? So does it print or does it project?
It's a printer
and a scanner essentially.
So the tanning printer uses a magnifying eye to concentrate natural light into a beam that turns black and white text or images onto the page.
Right.
So basically,
it's a bit like the teapot thing. I always really like things like that where a lot of thought's gone into the design, but not a lot of thought has gone into. Does anybody want this?
No. But that's got a certain purity to it that I like.
Yeah.
And particularly also if aesthetic sort of values are the main thing that's been... Because that does sound like... Well, you described it as being like a hairband only straight.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds great to me. So, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, check all these out. There's about 46.
There's a million of them. I was sitting there clicking for ages.
You don't have to go very far to get a really nice one. The number two, which is the Nokia tablet.
And
someone's not really thought that hard about it. They've just gone, oh, look, it looks a bit like a tablet already and just made it a bit bigger. But it does show off the fact that what is already... a very good mobile phone OS, you don't have to do anything to it, really, to make it a very nice tablet OS. So,
yeah, that's true.
Yep, there we go.
Although Microsoft is going to, because it's bringing out Windows 8.
Yeah. I know it's going to get a bit more sophisticated, but yes. Okay, do that. And that whole, you know, the unibody polycarbonate thing looks great as a tablet as well. Do it. Do it, Nokia. Sort it out.
Do it now.
Yeah, that's about all for this week. Remember, T3.com has all the latest. T3 is on the shelves and on your tablet, not your Nokia one. And we're on iTunes every Friday. Till next week, then. I've been Dan Maudsley, and you've been listening to the T3 Podcast.